Well, y'all, we're still studying through the book of Ephesians, fourth chapter. We got towards the last few verses there, maybe starting into the fifth just a bit. We may just touch on some of that. Felt like kind of rushed through it a little bit last week, but we'll probably be getting started somewhere around 4 and 29, but may back up to around 4 and 25 just to hit on the five sins to be discarded, it says, is kind of where he was going with that. So 4 and 25, and this is Paul speaking to the church there at Ephesus. He's written them these letters, and this is for, we'll later see, it's for the help of the church, but it's also for the edification of the Lord. But wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And in the 29th, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that one we may kind of spend a minute on. And the corrupt communication. Whether it be, literally the word corrupt means to literally break, separate, or dissolve. Also translated more directly to this verse, it meaning rotten, that the corrupt meaning rotten and speech that is, when it says corrupt communication, is speech that is calculated to infect them with sin, is what this is talking about. So no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And how many times am I guilty of, we just talk. It just seems like we just talk way too much. And honestly, it's the more you do, the more apt you have, your focus is going to be something corrupt, something vile. And I think that's where he's going to go in these next few verses is, it really seems like Jesus didn't do a lot of talking until he had a point to talk about, did it? I think personally, Paul was a whole lot that way. During his travels, I don't know how much talking he did, but when he got the opportunity to walk into a synagogue, and then he spoke about Jesus. A lot of writing we see, but we just don't really see a lot of extra talk. And again, this is corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, it said, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And the edification, we talked about that before, that's to building up in Christian knowledge, instructing, improving the mind. So what we should be talking about, it says, we should be talking about calculated speech to instruct, encourage, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So if you're going to have any communication, let it be something like that, as opposed to tearing down, be building up. That's the contrast. So instead of talking about things that you know you shouldn't be talking about, if it's not edifying to the Lord, just leave it off. It's corrupt. It's rotten. It's no good. It's things of the world. Any thoughts on any of that? And then it says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So it's to minister. It's to serve them. It's to help them. It's to minister the grace. We know grace comes from God. So your speech is to minister and serve to the hearers. It's supposed to help them out. And we all know every once in a while you'll talk to a brother, sister, you'll get a phone call or something, and it'll be, hey, just wanted to see how you's doing, or man, I really got a lot out of what you said the other day. Not so much as the pat on the back, but it's the conversation. Just really does minister grace to you, doesn't it? Is, hey, you were on the right track that day, what you was talking about the Lord. Boy, I got a lot out of that. As opposed to say, hey, boy, that joke you told the other day that was a little off suit, boy, that wasn't edifying to the Lord at all. We don't need to build up that. We don't need to put our stamp of confirmation on. That's the thing we should be talking about. And ma'am?
After that little verse right there, it says, and to edify profitably, but it says Matthew 12:36.
Okay.
Well,
let's see.
I'm sure it would be. I mean, it would be there.
Matthew 12:36. Let's see what Matthew's got to say about it. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wow. There you go. So those idle words, those non-useful words, non-productive, right? If I'm thinking idle is sitting still, not moving forward for sure. And we'll give an account for that. Wow. Amen. Appreciate this. Anyone else? I'll be honest with you. I'm not good at using my center reference. It's not that I don't. It just sometimes leads me off into another spiral that honestly my mind won't allow me to handle.
Well, this was right after that verse. So
Amen.
I usually try to look them up.
Amen.
Them
that's time, good.
So that right there was pretty good.
Yes, it was. It was spot on, wasn't it? Anyone else?
Sort of what you was talking about earlier, brother, and I mean this about Josh, not anybody else, but sometimes we just talk.
Yeah.
Just need to be quiet. Listen to him a little bit more. I know I've had even somebody as sorry as me, if I'll be quiet, I've had him come along and just talk with me and maybe show you just a little something, and 6 months down the road, something may come up in conversation and and you feel it come on. Hey, that if we talk back in September,
yeah,
today's the time. You know, it's time to share it. But I'm like you, brother. I need to learn to value quiet time with him more. Just talk less myself and sit there and meditate and see what the Lord has to say.
Amen. God bless. You know, my quiet time seems to be in the morning before anybody gets to buzzing around. And whether it's driving down the road and radio off, or you're just sitting there, maybe I'm going to just read a little bit. It ain't so much of a study, but I'll promise you, if you'll just get up, just reach in there and just grab a portion of Bible and open it up and read a passage or two, and I will promise you, maybe not that day, but within a couple of days, something's going to come up and you're going to be like, wow, that I read perfectly fits this situation. And then you get to thinking, well, that was that little quiet time you spent with the Lord, and he's trying to show me something. I find it very comforting that the Lord went into the garden early in the morning. He arose way early in the morning. These things that he spent, we see him spending time early in the morning when there's not a lot of clatter, when there's not a lot of calamity, a lot of noise, a lot of things like that going on. Even before the birds even start singing at the break of day, you're out there before the sun comes up and it's quiet. You can hear a limb fall out of a tree, and boy, just that peace and serenity, no doubt, comes from the Lord. And I believe he blesses our thoughts in times like that when those distractions aren't around. Anyone else?
Brother, if you could look at him, can you pronounce it good? Ecclesiastes 10:12. Well, that one verse in Ephesians, it says that the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Ecclesiastes.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Anyone else? So in 4:30, when it says, and, so it's continuing, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the and, like I said, it was continuation. So when corrupt communication from 4 and 29 comes out of your mouth, this grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And the grieve is to give pain of mind to afflict, to wound the feelings, to hurt the feelings of the one that saved you from eternal damnation and has not done it once, but done it once and for all, sealed you until the day of redemption. Why would you want any part of hurting Jesus Christ, hurting God Almighty, the Holy Spirit? It grieves Him when we have these corrupt communications. And I think that's the reason why you see the whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's letting you know what He's done for you if you've been saved by the grace of God. And why would you want to hurt someone that's give you a gift like He's gave you? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So let all bitterness, it says. So looking at this list as progressive symptoms of temper. So it starts with bitterness. Bitterness or sharpness or ready to take offense. Lord knows, have we not got a nation full of that right now? I mean, just sitting on the edge, boy, just give me something to be mad about this morning. We've got it. And so this is a lesson saying not to do these things. So worldly says that's exactly what's okay and it's understandable. And biblically it says no, that's not what's supposed to be done. So see if this doesn't make sense as it being kind of progressively getting worse. So as bitterness, it's like we said, ready to take offense. And then you've got wrath and anger. So that passionate outburst that we talked about last week, this is where the smoldering bitterness kindles into flames. This is where now it's stepped into something further than just trying to find something to be mad about. You've reached that point and it's burned and it's now a wrath and an anger. And then it says in clamor and evil speaking. So the clamor and evil speaking, the loud, constant fury from wrath passing into deliberate evil speaking. As the temper cools down or without losing its settled anger. So maybe the wrath has kind of come down a little bit, but you've still got, now you've got a beam in your eye. You've got that purpose. You've got a reason to just go and be this clamoring loud noise that's just a constant irritation to the Lord and His purpose. And be ye kind. Well, at first it said to there with all malice. So with all malice, all are various traits of malice, evil-mindedness, the general disposition, opposite of goodness, gracious, and sympathy. So the above all human nature, as it is sinful nature, yes, it's natural, but we should be a creature of a new godly nature. So that all of that stuff needs to be left behind. And be ye kind one to another. This sums it up and how we ought to be. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we touched on that just briefly last week, but I couldn't help for coming back again. And I still, Brother Jeff and what he preached on last week and the forgiveness and we shouldn't. Hey, it's great when you get an apology, but it's not necessarily warranted. That if they've done something to offend you, then you just suffer yourself to be defrauded, and you just say, it's my job to forgive, whether you understand what you did to me, offended me or not. But now I need to go and earnestly ask prayers for you, and then ask prayers for myself that I can forgive and forget, and just let it be gone. For 32?
Yes.
Well, Matthew's full of them today, ain't he?
Yes.
6 and 32?
No, 6 and 14.
6 and 14. Seems like Miss Sheila's Bible's got all the answers in it. No, that's good. I'm just going. It has. Mine evidently, I just can't put it together. It's probably in there. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen.
And it also says 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10.
2 and 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Amen. The Lord forgave us. He certainly did. And who are we to sit back and not allow that forgiveness to transpire to others? If we're going to be a showing of the light, as he's about to get into, we've got to show that we are different from the world.
Next verse, don't care about
it. In 2 Corinthians?
Yes, sir. Go right along with what you're reading in Ephesians there.
All right. 2 and 11?
Yes, sir.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. And I think just recently we read there about not giving the devil a foothold, right, or something along that, or not, neither giving place to the devil in 4 and 27. That is comforting to know that the letters that Paul sent to the Corinthians, a lot of times, same stuff as the Ephesians and the Galatians, and he wasn't speaking to them different stuff. That's a blessing. They all needed to hear it. We need to hear it today. Good point, brother.
I'm going to quote the verse even prior to that, where he says, be angry, but yet sin not. And he goes on, he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give space to the devil. Because when we, out of experience, when we do that, and we've got animosity with someone, and we don't go and do our part to get that fixed up, it will produce corrupt communication.
Yeah, it sure will.
It'll give space to the devil.
Yeah.
And through that, it will cause us to have corrupt communication.
Or hell.
It'll cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think what Paul's really trying to say, speaking to get away from the ways of the Gentile.
Man.
Come out from the world. You know, and he told, I think it's the Galatians, how that they're to walk after the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and gentleness,
man,
and meekness and kindness. I think that we, as the Lord's people, we get caught up in those corrupt communications a lot of times because it's we that have gave way to the devil. And sometimes it may be because we let certain wrath, the sun go down upon our wrath instead of going and trying to get that fixed up.
Lord help.
And I know that will cancer.
Yes.
Your relationship with the Lord, it will.
I
think that's what he said when he said, you know, if you got all against your brother, I've said that a lot of times. If I've got all against my brother and I come up here to the altar, tell the Lord what all I want, he says, you just leave that at the altar, don't you come? You know, that's basically what he's saying. Yeah. He said, you go first and get reconciled to your brother. Do your part.
Yeah.
Now then, after you've done your part, now come to him.
Amen.
I'll talk to him. I mean, that's what,
yeah,
I get out of that.
Amen.
So, And a lot of times when we fail in that, it produces within us a cold heart.
Yes, it does.
And a cold heart, there's no feelings. If there's no feelings, there's no pain. If there's no pain, there's no searching for a remedy.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
I mean, that's what happens to me. When I find animosity, I can't find myself turning cold hearted. I do.
Yes.
And when I do, I don't have no feelings toward that individual so much, where if I don't have feelings for it, if there's no pain there, then I'm not searching for a remedy.
Yeah.
So, boy, these things are important.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I need to learn.
Yeah, me too.
We all do.
I need to learn.
It's amazing how live and fitting it is. Some of our studies just go right along with our personal life. Yep. Amen. Well said. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, we'll start chapter 5 here just a little bit. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So Be a follower of God as a corrupt child? No. As a dear child. As dear children. Someone dear to the Lord. Someone that you act like He's dear to you. That's the type of children that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be following the Lord as if we really, really earnestly and honestly appreciate and know what He's done for us. We're to be followers of God in that way. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I know all of our senses, like Brother Barry talked about last week, all of our senses are tied together. And I do believe that not only do we feel in our heart what the Lord has done for us, but it is so sweet. It is sometimes you just dwell with God's people. It's like you can smell it. It's like you can taste it. It's just thick. Any thoughts on any of that verse? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So the way I'm looking at that, it said it's not proper for Christians or saints to be guilty of committing these sexual sins listed here. Not be once named, it says. These deeds shouldn't be the topic of normal conversation. It shouldn't be attributed to you neither, but let alone even the topic of it. It don't even need to be discussed. And again, the separation from worldly stuff to us being light out in the world, and Brother Jeff's preached on that, when you walk up and somebody's having three or four other people there and there's some corrupt communication that's going on, and if you're to stand there and just even snicker or smile about it or to say nothing, you're still being a part of that. And we're not to have any part of that. That's when you just tuck your head down, walk the other way, find some reason to go tie your shoe in a corner or something. But now, even just to stand there and be a part of that corrupt communication, it's not of us to be that way. Any thoughts? But we know the fornication is in short lewdness of unmarried persons, male, female, also the criminal conversation of a married man without an unmarried woman, and even at that level, it's just so we understand it. We are not to have any part of those lewdness conversations, but in the fourth, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. So these foolish talkings, these jestings, which are not convenient or proper, is the way convenient there is translated. So it's not proper either. And that's what we were talking about just a minute ago. Just this foolish talking. If it's foolish, if it's unprofitable, then why are we even talking anyway? Let alone talking about something like that. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And it notices there that when it gives that list, that whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. So it's pointing out a someone that's not following the Lord, someone I believe that's not saved there, that because it says they are an idolater. So they're not following the Lord. But for sure, these things that's contributed to that, this whoremonger, this unclean person, this covetous man, meaning wanting things that other people have, who is an idolater, and we know that to be someone that, you know, it says they're unclean person. We'll just say, we'll say that's lives or lives that are unpure. Covetous man, someone that always wants more and more. And then who is an idolater, that's a worshiper of idols, one who pays divine honors to images, statues, representing of anything made by hands, one who worships a deity that is not God. So that directly calls them out to be an idolater. So whatever becomes the chief object of our desire is an idol. So not just these other things that are statues or whatever else, but we definitely need to recognize that if you're, first of all, not saved, if you're worshiping an idol, and then you will not be inheriting the kingdom of Christ and of God. Any thoughts on any of that one? I know that one, you could do months of study on that one verse, I'm certain. Let no man deceive you with vain words. And this is, again, I believe we're speaking to someone that could come before the church, could come before a church member, but I don't believe we're talking about someone here that's saved. I believe this is saying deceive you with vain words, empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So this is, it says, let no man deceive you with these vain words or sophisticated arguments. And how many of those do we have today? You'll have certain individuals come up and they'll try to convince you that something's right, all because you've been understanding a definition differently than what they are. And then hence the reason why you get certain people that can't tell you the difference between a man and a woman, because they can't define what a woman is. And they're trying to use that for their arguments. Well, these arguments are just have no morals. They've got nothing to stand on. So these somewhat sophisticated arguments that make certain people question the basis of what should be elementary knowledge, just don't even pay any attention to that. These are folks that's trying to turn you away from where your thoughts ought to be. It says here, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. If you are disobedient and you are a children of God, you're definitely going to feel his wrath. You're definitely going to feel chastisement. He's going to come to you, and you're going to know that if you are a child of God. But we shouldn't give any place for that. We shouldn't give any man with sophisticated thoughts like that of these vain words trying to deceive you. And then it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And in that seventh, this partakers of them, you can look up and find a sharer, a companion, or fellowship. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but that's the reason why I pointed out there a minute ago, that where it says, let no man deceive you with these things. I don't believe that's a saved individual that we're talking about. I believe that's someone coming in. And I believe when it refers to this in the seventh, be ye therefore not partakers with them, having fellowship with them. That's true. I don't believe this is a point to where we're supposed to break fellowship with another church. I don't believe when they're just... when it's not a doctrinal issue, when it's not, if it's just a disagreement between us and someone else, and that, you know, each church is autonomous and all of that, if they've not completely left the faith, they just do something a little bit different than we are, that's not our place to overreach. That's their church to run. In this specific instance, I believe this is specifically referring to someone that is ungodly and bringing ungodly things in. You should not have fellowship with them. You should not be. But we also, if the Lord grants you that opportunity to just stand up and just merely let them know where we stand on an issue, and we let them know, hey, biblically, this is why I believe what I believe. You ain't got to have some big knockdown drag out. You just let them know where you stand as a Christian, and you let it go. Any thoughts on any of that? If nothing else, time's about to get away from us. We may be at a stopping point here for the morning, and we'll try to carry on later next week, but really appreciate everyone's input. Appreciate us having this opportunity to study Ephesians and the letter from Paul to the churches there at Ephesus. if nothing else, we'll just consider ourselves dismissed, and y'all keep in mind, be in prayer for Brother Walter. Looking forward to hearing the message this morning. Consider yourself dismissed this morning.